Blog Talk Radio.
Mary.
So we stood up and made the tough choices that needed to be made to preserve our way of life.
We are going to the jungle.
Stop!
Hello, 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 and welcome to A Team of Voices Radio. You are listening to What the Flock with Pretty Bird. That's me. A Team of Voices is a group of wonderful, wonderful, talented people. And you can find us on allpoetry.com. We write all kinds of fabulous things with all kinds of fabulous personalities because we are all different. And that is what makes us awesome. Not to toot our own horns because everybody's awesome, but we're good. So you can go on to allpoetry.com and it's free to join. Look up A Team of Voices and there you will find us. If you are enjoying your show, we have many different types of shows. So you can read past, you can listen to past shows, look to the future for future shows. We have different things going on all the time. So keep an eye out. Now, tonight's show is all about perfidy because betrayal just isn't enough. You can be betrayed by accident, but perfidy is always on purpose. So I chose Pink's What About Us, and I get that it's, you know, was written as a political thing, but I thought it was perfect for all of us unconsidered people, all of those that get stepped on and lied to and you trust, and they don't care. They feed on it, and then they turn on you, and you're left there trying to pick up pieces of things that they don't even care that they crushed or that they're happy that they crushed. And then here we have tonight's show. So tonight's show is also brought to you by the AP Poetry Foundation and the foundation does wonderful things to advocate for poets and poetry. So feel free to look that up as well. So we have callers. Iraq and Tor, say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And Sky, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am awesome. And Sweet, my fabulous Sweet, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, honey. How are you?
Well, I told Rack earlier today not to ever let me post a show topic when I'm in a mood. Because I was so
I didn't know you even wrote that. You were in a mood.
Yes, well, you know, I'm not as deep in that mood today, but I will be in about 20 minutes, I'm sure. Because I was going through all of my, you know, my plethora of pain because I don't write happy. And I was just like, oh, and then I remember everything because I feel that way. You know, you have a memory, and not everybody, and I was fully well into adulthood when I realized that not everybody remembers things as deeply as others. I'm one of those people that if I'm remembering it, and if I was mad at you, I am mad at you all over again like it just happened now. If I am heartbroken, I am in it like I just got ripped to shreds, even if it was 20 years ago. And so going through all these, I know, sucks, right? But going
Me
through
too.
All.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so I try to avoid nostalgia because it just gets me in some kind of way all up in the field, not okay. So I'm reading through my stuff. I'm like, no. So I picked two for tonight. One, because Sky, you brought it to my attention the other day, and I was like, oh, I remember that piece. I was like, well, I thought that it was fitting. It was the one that you had shared, the
example
that you never asked.
I know.
Yeah.
And that, I would tell you, but it's not like you want to hear it anyway, right? Is it something like that?
Something like that, yes. Oh, I tell you, but it's not like you'd ever ask me. And
yes, that one. Yes.
And then I brought another one because why the heck not? And so it's all about, you know, here's the thing. I hold honesty above all else. All else. I can respect you if you're honest, even if you're a shitheel. I could love you to death, but I can't. If you lie to me, I just can't. I can't. Nope. I love you. I will love you from a distance. You don't need to know my business anymore. Have a good life. And it's I'm a hard person. I am. But I'm sure we've all been accidentally betrayed. I know I have, because for half my life, I didn't realize that things that I know are personal weren't the same level of personal to other people. So if I didn't say, for your ears only, do not share this, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, pretty birds, yada, 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 blah, 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 I would get heartbroken. Because, and so now, for every stupid little thing, I'm like, this is not to be shared. And they're like, duh. And I'm just like, I need to do it. I have to. And because it stings. And when they didn't know, and they didn't do it on purpose, they didn't do it to hurt you, they didn't realize that it would, it's a hard thing for me to get through, because it's not like they broke trust. They didn't know that it was something that was trustworthy. You know what I mean? I'm probably not saying it right, because apparently I can't speak well.
You are saying it right. Idiot is level.
Yeah, but perfidy. And I do love things that have very concise words and definitions. There is no getting around that that's a big F you. They will look you in the face and while slipping everybody else your business, or while lying for it, they know it's going to hurt you, and they do it anyway. And it sucks. It just sucks. So, you know, friends, family, you know, romantic relationships, coworkers, anything that has a suggested level of trust, when they are all about their own selfish needs with no consideration for anybody else or for you in particular, because, you know, betrayal is a very personal thing. You know, it sits different. And how then are you supposed to continue in those relationships you cannot get out of, when it's your family, when it is your coworker or boss or whatever, when it is your best friend that you've got 15 years or of your life invested in, and you love them dearly, and then they go and they do something that is all, what the hell is that? I mean, it is a hard process to start to distance yourself, because it's like ripping off skin. So, yeah, I was in a mood, because you know how I hate to cry on the air, but tonight might be difficult for me. So why don't you all tell me your experiences or your thoughts on betrayal versus perfidy, or, you know, how much it sucks, because ain't nothing good about it.
I love the word intent. I love the word intent. I love people that think they can do something and turn around and go, that wasn't my intention. Who knows what your intention was? How is it not your intent when you walk or do something or do, I don't understand. Of course it's your intent. What were you thinking, that everything was going to come up roses, that you got to go and do what you wanted to do and hurt me and come back and say, it wasn't my intent. I didn't really think you were going to get hurt. What, you really thought you were just going to get away with it? That's the bottom line.
Oh, I didn't intend to get caught.
Yeah. I love when they use that word. It wasn't my intention to hurt you. Oh, so it was just your intention to get away with it.
I love it when they're all like, I didn't think it was going
to
hurt you. What, Rack?
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's always intentional. But but when they're like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to hurt you, I'm like, wouldn't it hurt you? I mean, that is such a big, well, obviously you don't feel the same way about me as I feel about you, because that would destroy me, thank you very much. If you don't give a crap, maybe we need to reevaluate our friendship. Because it's nothing is ever always a 50-50 balance in a relationship, and it ebbs and flows and sways and does whatever. Sometimes one person needs more, sometimes the other person needs more as far as attention or whatever in a relationship, and that's just how life works. But if they don't think, like, on any level that it's going to cause you pain or distress or some kind of rise in emotions, then what does that say about how much they care if Yes, but if you've known them for well enough that they know how you are and know what your triggers are and know, you know what I mean? I'm just like, you're just full of crap. I like the ones that don't tell you anything for like 3 months and then pop up with this information. Oh, well, I thought, you know, how the heck would I know? You disappeared on me. You didn't tell me anything. You went and you did the one thing that you knew was going to make me hate your guts. And then you pop up like nothing, like it's nothing. Oh, yeah, no, we're good. No, we're not. You know, I'm not good with. I once didn't talk to my mother, and she's dead now, so I regret this. I didn't talk to my mother for like 3 or 4 months because she pissed me off so badly. She said something to me that was not on my side. It wasn't against me. It was just a reflection of her own choices and her own life that she didn't want me to follow into or whatever her reasoning was. But when she said what she said to me, my heart broke. And I did not trust her to be on my side. And having children, that is a hard, hard thing to imagine not wanting to advocate for your child. And, okay, granted, I was grown, okay? I was and it shouldn't really matter. But she was my mommy. And it just caught me sideways. And it took me, just under 4 months to get over it enough to have the conversation because it hurt. I was devastated. And now I was like, well, I'm an idiot because I just wasted 4 months I could have had with my mom. I mean, she wasn't dying at the time. It was like 10 years before she died. So it's not like she was on her deathbed and I wasn't talking to her. But, you know, hindsight and all. But, you know, it can come at you sideways. And she's like, well, I didn't mean it that way. But you said it that way. And that is the problem that I have with people. And just across the board, none of us communicate perfectly. We all have a certain level of assumption of knowledge or assumption of closeness. There are things that we would explain to people that we think don't know us well enough and things that we feel like we don't have to explain because they've known us forever and they should know. But should not exist. And so because nobody really can pick up on this, that, the other thing, especially if I'm in a mood, I will miss everything. If I'm not in a mood, I pick up on all kinds of stuff. So, you know, we're not always the same people we are. So, you know, communication is, yeah, it's not that, well, I didn't mean it like that. Although, you know what, how about you know, precision of language. You speak clearly and don't make me have to ask you to explain what you mean when it's a simple sentence that I should understand, but you're using your sideways logic to talk to me in straightforward sentences so I can't understand crap because, you know, all of a sudden it's my fault that they said it wrong. You know, why are you so sensitive? Because you're an ass. I'm just saying, you know, because that happens. I mean, it can't just be me.
Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah, obviously not, you know? I'm like, and I think that I am very, very clear, and people have an issue with how I communicate because I tend to be very straightforward, very matter-of-fact. Matter-of-fact is not disconnected and doesn't mean I don't care. I always care too much, but I want to be very clear. You know, this is private. This is not to be shared. This is, you know, very few people get to see me break down. And so when it comes back to me, I take issue. It is a personal thing. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Right. So when I said not, you know, this is not to be shared and you shared it anyway, how else would you mean that? I mean, it kind of means that I had someone once. I'm going to go. Oh, here it comes. Here come the waterworks. Okay. Starting before the poetry even, this is going to be a time. I had somebody that I got close to very fast a few years ago. right after my mom died. And I had a big problem with how she died because I was the one that she always counted on to, you know, go over paperwork and make sure this and make sure not. And there's this whole DNR thing. My father was yelling in my face, and I dropped the ball because it was a rough time. And so and I had so much guilt, and I shared that with this person. And this person went right to his little best friend, like, well, and came back to me and said, well, so-and-so said that it's not your fault. And this, I'm like, so-and-so who that I don't talk to? And I don't know them. I was like, you know, I trusted you. Yeah, but I trust them, so they're fine. No, it does not work that way. that's fun. So perfidious all the way. So sweet. I think we are going to start with you.
Are you ready?
Hopefully I can still see the screen. We have had 5 days of rain, and I am telling you what, I have been migraine from hell.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're here, because when I have a migraine, I do not function. I do not exist.
I took medicine so I could be here, trust me. I want to do the show with you, and I am hanging on to you because this is the show of shows, let me tell you. I got to find our board again. I'm so lost.
You're on it.
I'm on it. So this is called When We Are Not Seen. Dusty curtains lay heavy on window panes. Eyelids ring with 2 weeks from thinking. Feelings cannot hold their weight awake. You face bright sunny mornings fading. The color of purple balances swept the blackest fringe into tattered rivers of onyx, running through the crevices of old stone face of bitterness misunderstood. Because we once believed in home.
You know, and it's that last line that just kind of twists the knife, that just kind of cuts you open, because we once believed. And here's the thing. You can't have any kind of relationship, friendship, whatever relationship, if there isn't that trust, if you don't believe it's worth having. And that has standards. And when those standards are undermined or broken, and it feels like you're unimportant or nothing at all, it lingers. And you kind of withdraw inside yourself. And when the lights go down and the day is over and it doesn't matter how much love is there, there's still pain, you know? And some things are worth the fight, and some things you go through it and you get out the other side, but it's a fight. And I love how you put window pane, P-A-I-N. Ceilings cannot hold their weight awake. You know, to face the bright and sunny mornings, the sun sometimes can be blasphemous when we're in a really dark mood. You know, like, because how dare it just rise and shine and be happy and perky and you know, shine in our faces like
I know.
You know? Like the nerve. I personally take issue with the happy morning birds because they can kiss my butt.
I hate the happy morning birds.
Okay. And when you are in that place, and I said it 100 times, I'll say it 100 times more, there is a certain level of comfort in pain. You can wrap up in it. It'll keep you warm in your own tears. It's not a place you want to dwell in forever, but it never lets you down. So there's a certain amount of comfort in that. And when you can't be broken in front of people, when you could only be broken when you are in solitude, you kind of want to be in that solitude, because until you get rid of it, you can't heal. And you can't heal perfectly well while having to hide it behind, you know, plastic smiles and sure, everything's fine. We're good. Yeah, because not all pain is meant to be shared. Some things we have to go through until we're ready to share it. And it's you put a lot in this brevity. And I find it to be perfectly lovely because I've got an affinity for pain. I know I'm twisted. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. So rack and tour.
I'm twisted with you.
Am I twisted, sister? Rack and tour, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just the shared foundation, I think, of believing in something. But that was, I think, the tagline from the X-Files, I want to believe. You know, it's a little more than trust. It's almost, you know, that commonality that draws you together. You take refuge in that sometimes, and to watch it crumble and fall apart is, you know, so extremely painful. And you know, that's part of what I feel when, you know, I read something like this from you, because, you know, it gets under your skin, and you know, this idea of you know, when you're with someone and you find out that you were wrong, you know, it's like, you know, well, this is the way it was, and it's not the way it is. You know, it's that transition that's so, you know, hard to accept, because, you know, you want to live in that comfort, in that warm place that you had carved out, that you felt safe, that you thought was going to last forever, that was impervious to being stripped apart and you know, and it's beautiful, painful, sweet.
I fully concur.
Thank you.
And Sky, your thoughts?
Now, I thought it was a powerful piece, and I was in my comment that I wrote, I kind of was going along the same lines as Rack there, but when you have that belief and that hope in something, and then say fall short. And I almost think, as I wrote in my comment, the hindsight of that initial betrayal, when, you know, you start to perseverate and you start to really crack down and think about all the moments that they might have lied before, that it might have had signs of falling apart, that, or all those things where you're like, well, maybe that all these little tiny things were signs that this person was not good or was going to fall short. I almost think in many ways that experience breaking down the entire relationship is worse than that initial betrayal that triggered it. If you're able to see or go down the line of all the times that other things supported that outcome, and then you're left with, why didn't I notice? Why didn't I? At least that's what I do. I tend to make excuses and try to see things from. Well, I don't even know if I try. I think I naturally want to see things from other people's perspectives, and give them the benefit of the doubt when I don't deserve it. So it's hard for me to come from a place where people are intentionally malicious. It's hard for me to accept that, I guess, or understand that. And so when finally that barrier breaks in a situation where, you know, you have here, like, it's finally, you know, the bridge has finally fallen out, that hindsight, that picking apart, well, what did I miss, can be awful. And I think that's one of the worst things about betrayal. I think that not only are they is that one moment weighing on you, but every moment before that is really well. And that's what your poem made me think of. Really well done. Excellent piece.
Okay. You know, there's something unfortunate that happens. If there is a length of time between whatever acts and when you find out, it drops the foundation out of everything in between. If I find out now that 5 years ago there was some kind of something, then everything that came after that is a lie. And I understand that it's, you know, illogical, but, you know, all emotions are irrational because they're emotions. But it makes sense to me. I was like, well, this is when you trust, you know, just because I didn't know doesn't mean that all was well, you know. And when you find out, it doesn't matter what good came in between that. It doesn't matter if there were perfect days. They were lies. All of them were lies. And it's heartbreaking. I also think there's a certain part of our brain that likes to put puzzles together. So in that hindsight, things that may not have really been anything at the time will fit those negative emotions. Just like in a better mood, there are things, maybe sometimes even the same thing, that would fit the other side of that and be like, well, I don't understand why it happened. It's all about perception because, you know, human brains are just a mess of crap. They don't know what the heck they're doing, and they drive us crazy. And too bad that they run our lives because, you know, we're just made that way. But, yeah, it is hard. And I'm right there with you. I can't fathom how people cause other people pain on purpose. I mean, I cause people pain all the time on accident because I tend to be a little abrupt or a little matter of fact or a little however my attitude or my tone is sometimes rubs people the wrong way and everybody gets butt hurt. I'm like, but I didn't say anything. You know, so it took me a long time to forgive myself for just being how I am and realizing that I cannot be responsible for how everybody else is going to respond to me.
That's my job, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, we can only do what we can do. And all I can do is apologize for any pain that I caused, even though it wasn't intentional. And that's all anybody can do. But to do it on purpose, I mean, I have a family member right now that I swear to God hates my guts. I don't know what the hell I did, but for the past 6 months, this person has just been spiteful and petty and backstabby and just full of trauma drama, and it breaks my heart. So what do? I crochet things, and I gift things, and I don't change who I am because it feels like shit. But it also feels like crap to keep on being who I am and doing nice things because I, you know, I don't care how bitchy I am. I'm a nice person. And then to be crapped on because not for nothing, it don't taste good. So, you know, sometimes people suck. It is what it is. You know, it's the nature of the beast. But, all right, so what do we want to hear next? We have a handful. Are you going to hang out with us for a little bit, sweet, or do you need to go and take care of your migraine? Because I know
I'm
going to
try.
I'm
going to try for a bit. I want
right,
to hear one of your poems before.
One of mine. Okay, A or B? A or B? A or B?
B.
B. Oh, that's the one that I put on here because I was talking about it the other day. And I was like, oh, well, here it is.
Special request.
So this is me up on the board. I can't.
You cut out.
Where's she at?
This is, I could tell you, but it's not like you'd ever ask me. And go like this. I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs, whipped cream complete with cherries, and for sugar to be a health food. I'd settle for feeling important on occasion or to matter to myself enough to stop giving the best parts of me away. My honesty is unappreciated for the beauty, dedication, and honor it takes to be so black and white, right and wrong, and a sliding scale.
This will not do.
Not do.
You cut out. You said sliding scale, and then we heard nothing.
Did it cut out for all of you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a Blog Talk problem. I'm telling you, Blog Talk hates me. I'm starting over. All right. I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs. Whipped cream complete with cherries and for sugar to be a health food. I settle for feeling important on occasion or to matter to myself enough to stop giving the best parts of me away. My honesty is unappreciated for the beauty of right, right, and wrong in a slime-filled world of corrupt ideals where it only exists for convenience. Real words, text, to woo lovers, and they are mine, lovers, that is. The words break spirits into particles that glitter in the sun just before they disappear, but I trust anyway, implausible deniability of unveiled falsehoods. Forgiveness is the only virtue I have, to my own detriment, but I do love, and love hard enough to bleed on that bed of sharp tongues with thin skin, but that has nothing to do with forgiveness. I never learned how to mend fences or unburn bridges. I can't undo a relationship or downgrade a vision of truth that was the happiest I'd ever been as an adult. But I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs, whipped cream complete with cherries, and for sugar, to be a food. And poem.
Sweet. Do you want to run comments? Okay.
Okay. No, I'm running comments, I said. I'm going to run comments if I'm off mute. Can you hear me? And nobody heard me, so obviously I might have got myself off mute. Okay. You know, my original comment to this, and I realize I write some very strange comments, was a reality wrapped in a hot dog bun of truth covered in sauerkraut. I don't know. Anyway, it's truthful imagery and a story that breaks my heart and wraps me in. I want the same thing. Why is forgiveness the only way to our own detriment? I love hard enough to bleed on a bed of a sharp tongue with thin skin. So that has nothing to do with forgiveness. Plausible deniability by law is one of just absolute complicated crap. Yeah, here we are, trying to figure it all together because humans are shit. And we can't figure out how to please one to unplease the other to unplease this, or even if our butterfly wings flapping is going to cause an earthquake in Virginia, so somebody's not going to be able to have a baby in New Mexico. And I don't ever understand it, because I never want to hurt anybody, but God knows I do. But I just want sugar to be a food booster. And you can make me cry and make me laugh and do all these wonderful things in one day. Just like most everybody here on this call can. And yet, somehow, I'm sure in 1 minute I could hurt any of you with the slip of my tongue and not even know it through sarcasm, through something, and never mean it. And sometimes never even know I did it. And trust me, if I ever do, please call me up and tell me in a minute. And Pretty Bird writes it beautifully.
Hey.
I hate black and white. But this is beautiful. Because I'd never ask you. I might tell you because that's who I am, but I'd never ask you. The raconteur, your thoughts.
Yeah, this is very much that question that you don't want to hear the answer. Almost like it's not true if it's not said out loud. You know, we're not going to talk about that. You know, it's that forbidden subject that you get around it, even though you know it. You know, the elephant in the room. And once it comes out, there's no putting the toothpaste back in the bottle, as they say. You know, it's a horrible truth in the sense of, you know each other so well, and it goes back to, you know, the stuff that we were talking about earlier, and this, when you mentioned, you know, how could you not know that it would hurt, or you know, something along those lines. It's like, you know. You know what you did, and you can't look it in the eye. You can't face it, So, you know, I'm not going to ask because, you know, you kind of know the answer, which is a huge cop-out, in my opinion, you know, in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, well, I'm not going to admit it to you because you already figured it out. You already knew. So I really don't have to tell you the truth because, you know, well, you guess. You know, you already know. So there's no reason for me to say it. It's a horrible interchange sometimes that you know, you can't look in the eye. This is, you know, very, very painful in so many different ways. And you know, it's very much, you know, that bond that you talk about, you know, and it's falling apart, it's breaking, you know, so the stuff that you shared, that you know, you want to say, you know, well, that's not what I thought, you know, and that there's no getting around that, you know, well, but if I ask you and you don't say that, then, you know, that turns everything into a lie, and turns everything on its head. Yeah, the whole deep perception, the color glasses, and, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. Just on this and peels it away. Beautiful.
And sky yourself.
Yes, I love this one. I can pick it apart and tell you every line that I love, but instead I'm going to tell you why on an emotional level I love it, and the way that you express your words and your language and your feelings. I did mention this the other day because my best friend of, I don't know, 23, 24, 23 years, I think. There are a lot of things that I admire about her that I always have. I tend to be, I tend to compartmentalize really well. I'll be like really upset with something and I'll say, well, that made me very frustrated and angry. Yeah. And so sometimes it's hard for people to tell unless they know. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard as people make it to be. I think if you pay attention, you can tell I mean a lot more than I say, because it's not like I hide it. I just have a hard time expressing it without poetry. I always say, if you want to know how I feel, read my poetry, because that's where it comes out. But she is very straightforward, and I love that. I always loved it about her since we were 13. And I think there is not only an appreciation of that, but it's not even like she is like where you say it reminds me of that, because I can understand that, because I've lived and I've loved a person of 23 years who I think is similar in some of these aspects that you say here. And this is why I love this poem, because I can really understand it, not only the way you read it, but from an outlook perspective. When you say, in a world of black and white, where is that? That section there, when you talk about that, I cannot imagine, well, I guess on some levels, but like, I think I give so many I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but exceptions and exemptions, I guess, for people. But there are some people, and I think that you're one of them included, that are just like, nope, this is a bar. This is where you need to meet. This isn't a high bar. This is just like normal expectation for me. I don't understand why kindness and loyalty and honesty, that isn't a high bar. It should just come naturally. You shouldn't have to try to do these things. This should just become second nature. And I think that expectation and having that expectation, and it's really, it should be the bar. Like, there is no bar. It should just be what it is. And when those things aren't, when one sees those things so black and white that, I feel like people always seem to fall short of that. And it's such a hard place to be, just to say, listen, this is what it is. This is, there's, this is the expectation. I don't know why we're falling short. And then, of course, when you get down to the, where was I, forgiveness is the only virtue I have to my own detriment, but I do love, and I love hard enough to bleed. Again, those words are so powerful. When you think about the idea of giving out forgiveness, and I think when you forgive, there's a little part of yourself that you have to let down in a way, because you're like, no, okay, I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to
hate yourself.
Yes.
I'm
going to, yes. So it's not only, it's like a constant thing. And then sometimes when you forgive people, like you said, you don't just have to do it once. You know, you think about it again, and you feel that hurt, and you feel that pain, and you have to keep forgiving them for the same thing. It's not just as easy, forgive and forget. That's not really how it works. So the idea of someone forgiving someone and then re-feeling those emotions, and you have to doing it all the time, I think, it's not a good place to be. It is definitely, so your words are powerful in this one. And then the line I can't say because it's an F word, I love that one. So when I did mention this, I sent it to my friend. I knew that she would have loved it, and she does like spoken word. And, I loved this poem. I absolutely loved this poem. Really well done.
Thanks.
Yeah, shut up now. Yeah.
But yeah,
and I don't know
so,
who else is in the studio.
What'd you say?
I don't know who else is in the studio.
Nobody yet.
Okay.
It's funny because expectation breeds disappointment. And it's really hard because you don't realize that you harbor expectations of people. Like people are who they are. All I ever needed people to be is who they are. You know, everybody has good days and bad days. The problem comes when people don't know who they are. There's so many people that pretend to be what they think other people need them to be. And that, to me, again, all lies. I understand that it's what people do. But, I mean, it's got to be exhausting. Because how do you trust somebody who's constantly lying to themselves? And I've got this curse or a gift or whatever you want to call it. I can see through it all. You know, and if they feel like lies, I don't care how nice they are and how great we would actually get along. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be near these people because they feel bad to me because they are misaligned. And most of them don't even know it. And it took me a great deal of pain to drop all of my own pretenses, to stop trying to want to be what other people want me to be. People, and so I'm very polarizing. They either love me or hate me. They either take me for all of my abruptness and in-your-faceness and oversensitiveness, or they're like, you are a little intense. I got to go. And I'm good. Riffraff, be gone, you know? but it's not an easy thing for anybody, especially somebody who lives in black and white in a grayscale world, that I don't forgive easily, and I've only ever been truly, truly, perfidiously, painfully, egregiously betrayed once, and it's not somebody that I was willing to let go of, and it's been a few years, and I am still struggling, not so much with the forgiveness of the person, but with the forgiveness of myself, because I didn't just walk, because it hurts me every day, and it made me question for years who I thought I was, who I knew I was, how I defined myself. And when it came right down to it, some people you're just not willing to let walk out of your life completely. Some people are worth the pain. And I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with now I can't trust myself, so what the hell do I do with that crap? So that's a question. what happens when the person who betrayed you is your own self? Because what the heck is that?
Thine own self be true.
Well, thine own self is an ass, apparently. You know, I am very black and white, very right and wrong. A lie of omission is a lie just the same. If you let me believe something you know is untrue, you lied to me. And I'm very particular about these things, you know? It was a week before school started, and I was shopping with my aunt for my kids. We were going to get all kinds of stuff, and she found a wallet, and it had like $750 in it. And she thought she was going to take the money out of that wallet and turn the money and turn the wallet into the lost and found with all the cards and everything in it. I was like, that is people's school clothes. Put that crap back in there. I was never so disgusted, disappointed, and quite literally heartbroken at somebody's selfish behavior. And I couldn't fathom how she could do that, especially knowing that this goes to people's kids. Nobody carries that much cash to go to, like, Walmart unless you're buying, you know what I mean? It's certain times of year, you go, you buy your stuff, you move on. And I threw a fit, like, and I made her walk her ass back in there and turn it in. And I was just like, that is not okay. And I never saw her the same since, ever. Because I'm the kind of person where if I'm like, listen, I'm broke, God, send me $10,000. And I find $10,000 in the bag in the street, you know, I'm turning that shit into the cops. I'm like, I know I asked for it, but it ain't mine. You know, if I win the lottery, that's a different story. That I would keep. You know, if in that 45-day period nobody claims it and they want to give the money back to me, that I will keep. I once got an order from Elf for makeup, and it had my little things in it, and it had, like, I don't know, 30 other things in it. I had to call them there because I couldn't keep it. It wasn't mine. It literally made me nauseous. Somebody was missing their stuff. It's not okay. And they're like, we don't take back makeup, so you can keep it. I was like, well, hey, I got free shit. But until they told me that it was mine, I couldn't touch it. It was not sitting well with me because I cannot take from other people to give to myself. I'm not that person. I am, you know. How about we get started on this nonsense? I went sideways.
We're talking about people that lie.
Oh, yeah, and I but that's how honest I am.
A black and white world in a sliding gray. A black and white in a sliding gray world.
And that's how black and white I am. I mean, not for nothing. If people send you other people's crap along with your crap, well, sucks to be them. They sent me crap. I'm good with it, you know? For most people, me, I'm not. I can't sleep. I need to fix it. I need people to know that somebody's missing their stuff. It's crazy, and I know it's crazy, but, you know, I embrace my quirkiness, and, I mean, if I don't, who else will? There's nothing wrong with, there's no such thing to me as too honest. There is a such thing as too mean. Like, you do not have to be mean and hurtful and spiteful and whatever just because it's true. You know, you don't want to, I keep on telling the story. When my nephew was 14, His best friend was a girl, and she walked into a class, a 14-year-old girl, walked into class in a brown dress, and he said as loud as can be, oh, my God, you literally look like a walking turd, because it was a brown dress, and it looked like crap, like an actual piece of crap. And I was like, what the hell did you do? No. And so we had to have this long conversation about the way you want to approach a teenage girl is, take her aside, never in a group of people, and be like, you know that blue dress you wore yesterday? That color looks great on you, you know? You'd be like, you know, this one washes you out a little bit, but those blues, those make your eyes pop. You do not humiliate anybody, and there's no reason to be mean, you know? It's just people don't understand that honesty is not an excuse to be an asshole. You know, I'm honest all the time. I am painfully honest. My go-to response when somebody asks me a question is, are you sure you want me to tell you? I'm like, are you sure you want to know? Because, you know, I'll tell you. Just make sure that you want to hear it. You know? And just like I learned through a lot of pain that I warn people before I lose my mind. I'm like, listen, you need to calm down, take a breath, because I'm going to lose it. Yeah, and it's ugly, and I don't get spiteful in a way where I'm going to pull everything out that I know and I'm going to stab them with it. I'm going to reflect it all crap on them, and like, this is what you look like, and then they think I'm mean. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry you can't look in the mirror. My bad. Anyway, this is not a therapy session for me. Y'all talk.
Well, I thought of the word that I was trying to think of.
I was thinking, I don't know if you've read the host rules, but they're very strict about talking over the host.
Also, what I'm hearing is, well, you ain't letting us get a word in edgewise.
It's because your father was a minister. Anything that has to do with a host. Anyway.
I am going to go, though, guys. I've got to go. So I love this show. I think it's wonderful. I will talk to you guys later, okay?
Thank you. You feel better.
I will. I'll talk to you soon, guys. Bye.
All right. Good night, sweet.
Good night.
Okay. I am going to put Pee-wee on the board because he's out there listening and commenting and being all fabulous. And I am crap when it comes to having a conversation, looking at the studio, posting poems, and actually paying attention to what the heck's going on out there. Because I talk a lot and I lose my own stuff and my own. Oh, and Titus is on there too. Hi guys, I'm just rambling. I think we've had like two poems so far, and it's like 11 o'clock. And since we're at the halfway point, y'all got anything coming up?
Well, I will be a pumpkin soon too, so just keep in mind I won't be here for the whole show. But yes, I do have something coming up. And the word that I was thinking of was allowances. I remember I was like, I can't think of the word that I'm trying to think of, but allowances. I tend to make allowances I shouldn't. Anyway, I do have a show, and I would love to tell you about it. It's next week on Tuesday at 8 p.m., and it's Down the Tubes, really random stuff. And my three prompts are giant sea scorpions.
Ooh.
Right, there's a theme here. Yeah, from the Devonian period. They're really cool. Giant frogs. Also from the Devonian period. I don't know why. I just like that period. There's a lot of giant things. And then that time that the Mediterranean disappeared because of giant sea salt deposits. So you don't have to. It's really fun to learn about. Watch the videos. You don't have to get technical. You literally can write about salt and have nothing to do with the Mediterranean giant sea salt deposits. You could bring a poem about salt, and it would still be related to the topic. But I would suggest that you would at least watch one of them. It's really cool to learn about random things. None of them are too long, and they're really fun. And that's it. Oh, and I have Ewoks Adventures, for those of you who remember that film. back in the mid-1980s. The graphics are pretty horrific, but I really loved it as a kid, so it's a little nostalgic for me. But it's on a Poetic Slice of Life at 8 p.m. on Thursday. You could write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, and or quotes. Quotes can go anywhere you want, so even if you've never seen Star Wars, take a quote and go wherever you want to go with. And that's it. Thank you so much, Pretty Bird.
You've got all the things going on, and I don't know about fun, because me and frogs are not friends. I've got some serious 12-year-old frog drama. Like, it's bad.
Okay.
It's bad.
Well, write me a poem and tell me about your frog drop trauma.
No, it's trauma.
Okay, well.
Hypno-toad.
But, it's, you know, I can do salt, and I can do giant scorpions.
There we go. You do one of those.
It doesn't have to be about the technical side.
It doesn't technically have to be.
You've seen how I write for you. You have all the stuff.
Oh.
I think of you, Pretty Bird. You know, when I take something with a grain of salt, I also want to follow that with a shot of tequila.
Well, you know, so long as it's Patron Silver, we're good. And coming up on a team of voices, we have on Thursday, we have Sweet Discussions, and she is, you have to read her page. It is just absolutely hysterical and fabulous. She updated all of her rules, and they're the best things ever. And so it is water and the five senses of water. We are water, and water is life. So whatever that comes to mind, brings to mind, that is Thursday at 10. On Friday, it's open poetry with liquid damage. So if you got it and it's PG-13, put it up on her topic board. I want to say it's at 10. I suppose I could just look it up and actually tell you. Yes, it is at 10 o'clock. I'm not lazy, I swear. And then on Saturday, I don't know if I can find Saturday. Saturday, is this, here it is. I'm telling you, apparently I'm losing my vision. I can't find anything and I'm scatterbrained. Saturday is secret room. And my secret rooms are definitely not PG-13, but and then on Monday, on Personal Prop Monday, it is artwork and then Miss Deborah Lee quotes. So go and check those out. They're a lot of fun. And it's also at 10 o'clock on Monday. So that brings us back to Sky on Tuesday, and that is the full week of fabulousness here on A Team of Voices. So now, back to all the good stuff. I don't know when he put it up there, but I scroll down and all I see is Titus is in, and I'm Cinderella, and I'm just like, oh my.
Because I said I'm going to be a pumpkin soon. And he's
oh,
very
you go.
Quick.
I am so glad
that's
because
why, I believe that's why he said that, yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And because I cannot even with my brain, I can't keep anything straight tonight. I'm just trying not to fall into the abyss of emotions because I feel some kind of way about perfidious souls. That's such a good word, perfidious. You know, it's like it's kind of like hideous, and which is perfect. Okay, so this is Bull Perfidy by Pee Wee. Now, is it Cusson? Is it Cousin? Is it, how do you pronounce that? Like, spell that phonetically for me so I don't keep getting your name wrong.
I think it's Cousin.
Is it Cousin? Because it looks like, I don't know. I keep on saying Cusson.
Let's look on the board.
Cousin?
Well, I can't
Cousin?
Somebody else there yet.
Cousin?
Is it Cousin? Cusson! Hey, look at me knowing some stuff! Excited. Ding, ding,
ding, win. Poetic. I said cushion once because I was a little not paying attention. But poetic slice says it wrong. I'm gonna tell Kay and Steven. I mean, they probably don't realize it. But, yeah, I said cushion once, and then they're like, no. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just,
well, he will forever be Pee-wee.
I am so glad.
I ain't afraid to ask the hard questions.
And look at him.
I asked him the same thing the other day.
Sorry, Rock. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
No.
Thank
I asked him the same question the other day. How to say his name? Because I heard someone say cousin.
Cousin. Yeah. Well, that's what Kay and Steven say. So I went along and thought that was. Yeah.
Well,
thanks, guys.
Now that we know who you are, Pee-wee, now this is Bull Perfidy. And I need to put on glasses because as the night goes on, my vision disappears. It is not okay. I feel very, very old. Okay. And it goes like this. A simple question I shall pose, you see. What it is that you call more humane as to the very nature of morality, perfidy, mercy killing, or bleed a bull for death in the ring. I could write down how to do it wrong. how to live shackled within a trance, bleeding me, been going on so long, inside all that's left is ignorance. Epic trials we had weathered together. Soul of life trampled me up under heel. Words you won't say, emotions unfettered. Remorse, regret, compassion, it's real. Words once said easily, scream disparity, rising tides of excuses despise. A liar's chair, banderillas into spine. Excuse me, to watch me bleed, burning cold, unfeeling glares from misery's lair, seeing metamorphosis in and before me, obscurely fade away or plunge piously into fire, serendipitously sadistic and satanic is perfidy, perplexing, psychotic plan against me conspired. Simple question I had posed to thee, how can you do such wicked things? Please just put me down surely, swiftly. I bleed out of BS death in your ring and poem. Okay, first of all, I'm not a big fan of alliteration, but I love that verse. I am just saying, you know, because there's something absolutely fabulous about serendipitously sadistic. You know, that is just so fabulous. I'm loving it. Perplexing psychotic plan against me conspired. There is, first of all, when you come up here at the top with, you know, or bleed a bull for death in a ring, and my mind goes to no, because I've always hated that. Always hated like that literal thing, always hated that. But what is it you'd call more humane? You know what? People suck. They don't know what humanity is. They will peel back your skin and spit in your eye and not even pretend to tape it back together. They are horrible, horrible, horrible. But they're also lovely, you know? You've got some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people that on their worst day, they're better people than I am. But they don't live by me. They ain't related to me. And they just come into my life in these fleeting moments of, is that what it's supposed to be like? Just leaving me in my misery, but it's fine. It's fine, I swear. You know, this is rising tides of excuses, despise, a liar's chair. You know what? Yeah, I'm right there with you. I can't. It's not reasons if you're trying to justify crap to yourself. And, you know, this whole gaslighting, I don't like that term because everybody wants to think it's something different. But, yeah, but that whole gaslighting thing where they make excuses and then because they don't want to face their BS, they're like, well, if you didn't, and why are you, and it's because you get like this, you know what, y'all can just bite me. I'm such a lady, ain't I? But seriously, and this really is clever, you know, and I like, again, you know, that when you see that change right in front of your face, you know, it's horrible. And that kind of change isn't something that they show to the, thank you, Pee-wee, yes, it isn't something that these people show to the world at large. They save it for the ones who give a crap, because once they are loved or they are cared for, then they can be controlled. And that's when they turn ugly, and that's when they get twisted, and then they're all sweet, and but I thought you loved me. Well, not when you're like that, I don't. I don't know who you are, Sybil. And it's just, it's crazy. Oh. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I am right there with you, Pee-wee. So, yeah, very, very, very well put. And I do love serendipitously sadistic. That is just fabulous. That's going to stick with me. It might actually be inspiration for something I write at some point, because I haven't been writing much recently, unfortunately. But can't seem to crawl out of my own butt long enough to put words to paper. It's a sad state of affairs. So, Zach and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this, Pee-wee. If you didn't know what perfidy was, you certainly laid it out in a beautiful fashion. And I enjoy the alliteration, the serendipitously sadistic. I mean, you know, phrases like that kind of chip off the tongue I must want to say, you know, a lot of times in life, when people are even trying to come up with something, they tend to lean towards that you know, alliteration. They want them to sound the same or start the same so that they have that resonance. In terms of perfidy, it's so fitting. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, I was just listening to you talk, and I forgot that I'm running comments, and it's my show. How sad is that? So, Sky, your thoughts.
Oh, yes. First of all, Sybil, I was on mute, but I started laughing. I had to see if I was on mute when I started laughing in the middle of your comments when you start throwing out Sybil. I thought this was great, Pee-wee, and there were so many things. First of all, I agree. I really like alliteration for the sake of nuance, less for the sake of using the poetic device just to use it. Even practicing when people do like entire poems that are the same letter, and you could tell that it's overdone. I'm even partial to that because it gives you like practice at it. So I guess I can say I'm always a fan. But you did it really, really well there. The language in this, I could write down how to do it wrong, how to live shackled within a trance. I love that, the images in this. Being shackled in a trance, kind of really, when you think of having no control or in a trance or having to just go through those motions, and yet you're still confined. I mean, I love the way that you describe that and the way that you kind of like give that to the reader to feel and to kind of process through. And I thought the way that Epic Trails we weathered together, putting it in that first person experience of this betrayal, was very, very well done. Yeah. And I like that you're seeing a metamorphosis. And the reason why I know that I was done, but now I'm going on, the metamorphosis idea, because round two. The idea of how someone can change right in front of you, and they're the same person, but it feels like they're changing. There's a metamorphosis because you're starting to reanalyze, to relook, and to kind of redefine them by their actions, and that can just be a gruesome process, or awakening, rather. Really well done. That's it for realness time.
For real. Oh, you say. And Rack Pee-wee was on the board saying thank you, and that if he's stuck, alliteration always gets the ball rolling. You know what? That works. It does. I mean, it, to me, sometimes it'll roll me off in a different direction, so I have to like cut that out and like put it elsewhere for inspiration. But I have I have like a fully alliterated poem. Somebody's like, I bet you can't write a poem with every word starting with the letter M. Oh yeah, watch me. It's not good, but it's there.
I think it's a good exercise. It really is. So I have like a couple of those, and I'm like, this is just ridiculous. But it's a good exercise because there are some terms or phrases that I've pulled out of those exercises that I actually really liked paired. So there's a bright side of it.
what's the axiom? Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
There's so many things that fit into that, you know, unfortunate truth. You know, my studio has kicked out a lot of my SoundClouds for tonight. No, I was just looking for my stuff. And I have Titus, so I'll put Titus up, but I loaded you and I loaded Steve in, and I'm going to refresh my page to see if I can find them. And there you are. Oh, there they are. Okay, yay. All right. And that's awesome. Because it likes to eat my stuff. It's not okay. All right, so I have Titus on the board. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Okay. And here we go. Oh, I lied. I can't read it. It's too tiny. Here we go.
Love's Last Lullaby. The majority of men who tell such lies, given that the promises he's made ties in loosely with good reason. The excuse apparently she is trying not to accuse, since the secrets he holds are as willful, hiding what it is she is afraid of. Doubt, promising the world yet she's without her life, fearing outcomes just as awful. You see, old habits die hard and flowers are simply buying him many slim hours before it is recognized they are artificial. So transparent it will not be beneficial to keep your secret and not cry. Lying too often becomes habitual. That misery has become her daily ritual. A song of leaving him, love's last lullaby.
You know, my heart sinks. My heart sinks. Well, first of all, it's beautiful because even pain in your words is lovely. And I know I say it all the time, but it's true. It doesn't make it any less true just because I repeat it. And so this is a very vivid, solemn experience, and for those who have even touched on these emotions, it weighs really, really heavy, even though it's spoken so lightly, which is a gift, by the way, my friend. And you know, there's something to be said for somebody still wanting to believe, even though, you know, the excuses are so flimsy that they don't hold water, that even though you know better, you still want to believe, you know, because nothing is horrible at the beginning or there would be no middle. And so, you know, you kind of hope that the person you fell in love with is still there, that they'll find themselves, that they'll remember how good a person they were, or they'll love you enough to want to be better than they let themselves become. And it just doesn't happen, you know. Especially when it's willful, and you can promise her everything, and she lives an empty life. I'm sure it's often by herself, because you know they tend to leave the woman behind while they're off doing what they want to do, and it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking, and the idea of such a soft ending to such a hard emotion, you know, it's beautiful. It's just really, really beautiful. You know, that misery has become her daily ritual, a song of leaving him, love's last lullaby. You know, I come up, my mom told me one thing when I got married. She said, "Here's a cast iron skillet. If he ever hits you, when he's sleeping, you beat him with it, and you beat him good." And I was just like, well, all right. Now, okay, abuse is not necessarily the cheating, but, you know, it hurts so much. I still have that skillet. I have yet to use it, thank goodness, but I still have that skillet. You know, so it's a far cry from a lullaby. But there's something really wistful and really heartrending when you fall so into yourself and you become such this little frail, like, shell of who you were that you're afraid to say anything. So it's just going to make them mad and just going to make them run off to whoever else they're going to be with and just going to make them do whatever, that you don't have a life of your own, that you no longer have a personality. You're not allowed to have one. Because you get folded for it, and you shrink, and you shrink, and you shrink. And instead of lashing out, instead of to leave such a soft kind of dwindling down into invisibility, you know, it's really sad, but it's really, really beautiful. I love the way you write. So, Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, to me, there's the idea of how can you not see it that way? How can we not share the same perspective on this? And the idea of putting it in terms of a lullaby, it's almost like, you know, I want to be, you keep saying delicate, you know, I want to go death knell, you know, it's like that's just the end. But, you know, a lullaby is, you know, like you say, it's a much subtler, softer ending. And that idea perfectly relates to it, because quite often, you know, you don't see it coming. You don't even realize it's happening. It's just all of a sudden you wake up in the morning, you're like, when did I fall asleep? You know, what did I, how did I miss it? And that's a perfect metaphor for this thought. You know, and again, you know, you mentioned you love how he writes, you know, his word choices and perspective on subjects like this are just, you know, classic. You know, it's like, I want to say, how can you not look at it that way? very, very, very well done, Titus. You know, again, another beautiful piece.
Absolutely. And Sky, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent piece. And when it gets down to, apparently she is trying not to accuse, since the secrets he holds are as woeful, hiding what it is she's afraid of, doubt, promising the world, yet she's without. I thought that was a very profound section of the piece, because it reminded me of how there's different relationships and how sometimes there are, again, ones that kind of blindside you, not realizing, but then again, there are these relationships, and I think that this really hasn't been touched on tonight until now, how complacency can often sweep in when people are, like, and you mentioned, you know, the shrinking of oneself, you know, and the insecurity and perhaps the fear of being alone and this is better than nothing, or perhaps, you know, going through their own life and their own trauma, like this is somewhere along the lines this became okay. And it's such a hard thing when the person knows it, like it's a hard thing to judge, and one can say, oh well, you know, they should be strong, they should be this, they should be that, and you know, I imagine it isn't easy to be in that place, and you know, the idea of being okay with the lies that you know and never digging too far because you're going to collapse the house. I mean, I think that isn't one that isn't a subject we've touched upon yet tonight. So I really like that this poem went in that direction rather than I was completely blindsided, I didn't know. The idea that some people in relationships do know, and instead of prying and digging, they just let all of that, they just skim the surface and they never go to the root of things, and they build, you know, a fabrication that will eventually crumble, or, you know, badly. So really, really well done. Beautiful in language, beautiful in the sonnet form, of course, and the idea and the metaphor of the lullaby and something sweet, but it's actually really sour. Really well done. Yeah. End comment.
Absolutely. And I have you on the board, Sky, but when you said complacency, my mind went to the other complacency, which is C-O-M-P-L-A-I-S-A-N-T, to be complacent, which is the opposite of actual normal complacent, and it's basically you're being a people pleaser, or being eager to please, and people always correct me wrong, they're like, you spelled it wrong, no, I didn't, different word, so sorry, my bad, and but I don't know why, it just popped in my head, but word of the day, there you go. And you are on the board if you're ready to read.
It popped in your head because I'm working on that. I have such a hard time when people are upset that I think that I did something wrong. I don't know. And then I try to fix it. So that is something that I have been working with very hard. And I've been doing very well. I'm very proud of myself. I have to stop and say, it probably has nothing to do with you. They're just in their own space. And it's not your responsibility to fix it, nor is it your fault or something you did or said. Like, I have to have that talk with myself. And I think I'm getting very good at it. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's not, it's
better.
Not an easy thing.
I know, it's not. But I think I've been doing good. I've been working on it for a couple of years now. So we're getting there.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yet sometimes it takes a lot of time to undo a lot of things. But this is, listen, this is an old one. I apologize ahead of you because, yeah. All right, this is a pity for triggers and a hard look to the weak. When I peer into the shadows of Cellar Hall, I see you, like gray painted ghosts, pinpricks on eraser pencils, a hidden tactic to underline all the thin lines of torment, your lies rooted in our small bodies. I look downcast to unlaced, worn sneakers and wonder when it is I can go home. There are names I could hardly hear, such as sister. Once made of refuge, a Punky Brewster smile, brown curls and sadder eyes. And though the mingle of choices are knotted, I still see you within the memory of her tears, never stitched and ever fixtured in her absence. I see them talking behind every wall, all those concerns in elementary corridors, buttoned eyes and multicolored rubber bands, speech therapists and foyer desks, angry slips sent home to be forged, a rare occasion of genuine empathy. And there you are, tucked behind them all, untying laces and locking doors. There I am, wondering when it is that I can go home. And take care not to step past these ghosts, descend too far into the dark. And well, when I do, as it seems inevitable, I unravel a spool of years seeking to recover untethered and untouchable. I take back all those pardons built of swallowed pride, fragile glass rooms that learned and are still learning to understand. But I am afraid it is not just those cellar halls that lead to dark spaces. It is in a million simple moments, a dirt path, a single wrapped gift unfurled by thin fingers, a child fingers, and the punishment therein. And balcony concussions, manipulation pleas, police reports, and bailouts. An afternoon curled on floors from boot kicks, the color of regrets that always was absent in your apology. I think of these things while simply spreading cream cheese on bagels. I remember hot bread. Sorry, I lost where I was. Bagels. I remember hot bread on cheek, the anger that glared in protest, and then the fallout. I feel a bit of pity for myself and triggers like those, followed by a sickness, a hard look to the weak. And then comes indifference, the numbed simplicity that this is how things are. I remember not knowing which way was home. You made it easier to want to stay hidden, to escape back to the other home that was my first, to remove myself from all those dark spaces, to choose. Even though I would then always walk with what it seemed like two different souls, both a bit awkward, both never seeming to fit or least complete, always separate and missing, always tripping over triggers and casting hard shadow glances when pity is given to the weak. End poem.
Wow. So that's all bullying and abuse, and that's breaking my heart, and it's lovely. It's wistful. Not that the pain is lovely, but the way you write, you take us to these ghosts. You take us to these memories, and when you're like, I'm simply spreading cream cheese on a bagel, that's how it happens. It could be, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, something pops into your brain and you kind of get lost in a moment, kind of remembering and feeling. And, you know, it's a miracle that all of us survived our childhood because, you know, it can be unkind, some, you know, for some more than others. And wow, you know, this breaks my heart. And it's lovely. You know, when you look into the shadows and they're still there, it's torment, it's pain, it's all of those things that shaped youth that are inevitably weaved in or woven in, or whatever, you know, me and my proper English does not exist, to the fabric of who we become. And when we choose who we want to be and how we don't want that to affect us anymore, we have to undo thread by thread by thread. And it is painful. And, you know, trauma is trauma for a reason. It is not one to disappear. And there is torment here between this house and that house, and safety and wanting to be loved, and there's never a good reason for any of it. And I do not have words to do justice to the beauty of this piece, to the rawness of this piece, to the pain of this piece. So that's what you get stuck with, because that's all I got. And
I picked it because the word betrayal and lies, I think sometimes the hardest betrayals are come first from the people in your life that are supposed to be not that. And those lies and those betrayals and even those little lies, trying to hide those, all the little lies that come in trying to sweep all those bad parts under the rug, so then it becomes not just the person who is causing that betrayal or lying, but then the people around them that, I guess, lie to themselves too and allow certain things to go on. I think that some of those betrayals are just as egregious when they're built in that foundation. And that's why I picked this one. Thank you.
They absolutely are. There is something sinister in that kind of silence. You know, and I was speaking earlier about I can't understand how, you know, a world where as a parent you don't advocate for your kids, and not everybody is like that. And I'll get to your comment in a second, Rack. When I was in college, I did my practicum in an elementary school guidance counselor's office. I was a psychology major, and my professor for my, you know, final paper and oral whatever nonsense, 75 pages of nonsense and a 2-hour conversation with the rest of the people in my class grilling me about what my 90-hour experience was. And he asked me one question, and he said, in one sentence, summarize what you learned doing that job. And I looked at him, and I took a minute, and I got a little teary. I didn't cry, but you know, I was glassy. And I said, not all parents love their children. And he's like, most people don't ever want to see that. They won't look at it, and they won't admit that exists. They keep on trying. I was like, you can't unknow what you know. You can't unsee what you see. You know what I mean? And not that everything's that extreme, but up until that experience, it was my understanding and life things. I was, you know, in my 20s, and I was all, well, you have kids and you love your kids. And I understand that people love differently, but it never occurred to me that's just not how life works. Some people are just emotionally incapable of raising children, I guess, to a standard that I see fit, because, I mean, who the hell am I? But, you know, so it's just everybody is different. Everybody loves differently. Everybody sees the world differently. Everybody can be standing next to each other experiencing the same thing, and they'll describe it at just 180 degrees from each other. And it's just, it amazes me. It really, really does. Just the different subtleties, the things that even when our kids are our world, we still traumatize them, you know, the one thing that we say in jest that we thought was funny, that they were a little too young to understand that it was a joke, and they take seriously, you know, when they're 23 and they look at you and go, well, you said this when I was 8. Well, I didn't mean it like that, you know? And it's rough because it doesn't go away, you know? Whatever it is, the joy and the pain that makes us, you know? We can't be unmade. All we can do is try to make better choices of what we know as an adult. And it's not easy existing. I'm just saying. So raconteur, your thoughts on
well,
Sky's team.
I just want to say that you should write a poem about that. You can't be unmade. I think that's a brilliant line. I think you should write that down right now and then put that in a poem.
The Mafia's been saying that forever.
All right, Rack, sorry. There you go. Floor is on yours.
My phone's been screaming at me. The idea of there's a foundation that sort of implies that shared belief, when you find out that the other person doesn't see it the same way, you know, that it breeds doubt, and that doubt, you know, is what causes everything to cry. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but you know, the emotions that you talk about, someone doesn't see something the same way. It's that. I mean, for me, there's a whole roller coaster that brings about. It's like, if I was wrong about this, what else was I wrong about? You know, and like you said, you know, you tend to try and blame yourself when it's not necessarily you. One of the things that I always struggle with is along the lines of what Pretty Bird says all the time about how she's so concise. It's like, I know what I tried to say, but I don't know what you heard, you know? So you sometimes will say something in such a way that it's all, like, laid out, and you try and you know, dig that hole, and sometimes you just can't get out of it, and then, no, that's not what I'm saying. But anyway, that's just added frustration. You know, and when it comes to relationships, it's really very, very painful to walk. When there's something that you share, that idea that the only people that can hurt you are the ones that you really love, because you know, if you don't care about the person and they say something, you're like, well, what the hell do they know? They don't know me, you know. So that's not the same as, like, you know, someone that's been with you for 20 some odd years and they say, you know, are you sure? Or, you know, they're the ones that know the buttons to push and where the bodies are buried. And you know, with a single thought, or sometimes even just a look, they could totally derail you. And that's the idea that you know, it never crosses your mind, or I should say, my mind, anyways. That it's intentional. Oh, when that curtain is pulled back, and they're like, you know, did he just do that on purpose? You know, that wasn't an accident. You know, that just changes the everything, and that's an ugly place to be. So, yeah, I can totally relate to this piece. It was perfect for tonight.
Thank you,
absolutely. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, everything is just so heavy, and I did it to my gosh darn self. I'm just saying.
I am going to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I just put Steven up. I have a SoundCloud. But you have an early morning, so if you've got to run, I understand.
I am. I was out in the sun all day. We have this fun thing called Field Day where they make everybody go outside all day.
you're out in your field.
My kids are... my kids require a lot of energy and tend to go to places where they're not supposed to. Even when they're in school, they tend to find their way out of school, sometimes down the street. So I am pretty tired. They did a good job today.
I think you just exhausted me a little bit.
What?
I think
what?
You just exhausted me a little bit at the thought of having to chase kids down the street.
I had one kid at the beginning of the year. My kid said, I just love them. They said to me, I'm going home. And they walked out of the building and they started walking home. And I'm like, oh, well. And a lot of my kids, they require walkie-talkies because I don't know why they give them to me, but they do. Like, all right, we're going down the street, guys. If I could have some backup, that'd be great. I really do adore them. But good night. I'm going to get some rest and a great show. Thank you for having me, and I hope you enjoy the next 20 minutes. I up later than usual. Always pretty bird. Just can't say good night.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Sleep well. I hope you get some rest.
Thank you. You too. I will. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So I've got Steven up on the board. He's got a SoundCloud. You got a SoundCloud. And then I'm going to read my last piece because I want to. And so here we go with Steven 76.
Multiple but Mono by Steven 76. Tick, tock. Upon sideways glances and pocketed guilt, masks that crumble and coat landfills, the faces veiled behind the avatars, revealed by boundaries of idioms and yards. From neckties to bow ties to hemp bola so tight, tongue flinging daggers all kept with spite. But as backs are turned and air is dissolved, voices go hoarse, finding not resolved, and here steps fade into the fog. End poem.
Oh, I just realized he wrote this too. One of my quotes. It was, broken reflections shine on the surface between where I stand and a dream I once had. You know, I love this. First of all, there is something wonderful, and I've used a ticking clock in one of my poems before, but there's something wonderful about that in the background because it adds that kind of sense of passing time. It adds that, and when it's consistent, it just adds this layer of depth to the words that you can't find in silence. So I love that he put that there. Upon sideways glances and pocketed by guilt, masks that crumble and coat landfills, you know, upon sideways glances. My dog gives me side eye all the dang time. But and pocketed guilt. And here is the thing. Again, with the downside of human nature. If you do something, if you say something that you know makes somebody feel bad, but you didn't know it was going to make them feel bad, you just hurt their feelings in front of your face. How many of us, not me because I'm an I'm not normal. How many of us don't apologize? You know, it's almost like you feel guilt or shame or enough that it kind of makes you like a little verklempt. You know, like you don't have the words. And then the moment passes and you don't want to bring it up again because it passed, then it's there all the time, held in your pocket every time you look at them. You know what I mean? Am I alone? Like, do you understand?
No. I got you. I follow.
Okay.
I'm trying not to talk over the host because of the layout. You know.
Well, now that it's just you and me, don't talk over me, but we're going to go back and forth. And, but it hadn't occurred to me all night that happens because it's not that I don't understand how people are and how everybody's different and there's this whole gamut of possible reactions to things, but quiet guilt has never served me well. And even if I'm angry and I say something and they get all like butthurt about it or really hurt about it or whatever, even if I'm angry, I'm not going to be like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I didn't mean to hurt you. I apologize. What I had meant to come across is this, and it's still very matter-of-fact and whatever, and then I'll go back and apologize nicely when I am done, you know? And and Pee-wee's on the board. He said, sometimes words can't be taken back. You know, I try to avoid saying things that are necessary to take back. And here is the unfortunate truth of that. There are a lot of things in life that you just can't undo, you know? And not only can you not, you can't unsay them, you can't undo them, you can't will a plate back into a plate after it is shattered. I don't care how much super glue you put on that thing, it ain't going to be fit for food. And it is a horrible thing, because it taints the future of a relationship, of a friendship, of family members. It taints how you see them, how you think they see you. It's not okay, you know? And words just, they should only be used by the highly intelligent in certain circumstances. But since we all communicate with them, we just kind of wield them. It's like kids running with scissors, the way we talk to each other. It's not okay. And in today's, you know, and in today's, what is the word I'm looking for? All these kids, it starts with an E. They're entitled. My goodness, I can't even think of that word. All of these children that are growing up, these young adults that think that the world owes them. You know what? Your mama needs to slap you. It is not okay. I wonder if that's what happens when kids don't get punished. Like, I'm not talking, corporal punishment, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consequences to things because, oh, they're just kids. No, my kids were in timeout all the gosh darn time. If my kids wrote on the wall, they would have to clean the wall. You know, in fact, I had a whole stockpile of magic erasers because when they would do bad things, they were cleaning something. Because it's their mess anyway. Why should I have to do it? I'm just saying, you know, you have to be a little clever with your punishments. It's funny. But back to the poem, because I just talk sideways. I don't know what it is, you know. From neckties to bow ties to hemp bolas so tight, tongue flinging daggers all tipped with spite. And that is where people's malicious nature comes in. I have a family member who says things that I swear they're just venomous. She will hiss at me, and it's like it's in the air and lands in my skin. And the second that it gets me, the second that it weighs on my emotions, even if I don't say anything, my demeanor will change. And then you get the kind of smirk on her face as she looks me in the face and turns around and walks away. I'm like, really? That is, I love you too, you know, because sometimes it's always the ones you love. That's what I was going to say when Sky was on the phone. To me, and, you know, who the hell am I? The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. You have to be impassioned somehow to feel some kind of thing to hate somebody. It takes way too much energy. When you don't love them anymore, when they mean nothing to you, they mean nothing to you. You know, it doesn't perk you up. You don't care who they're with. You don't care what they're doing. I mean, hopefully you don't hope that they die, but other than that, out of sight, out of mind, you know, go live your best life. Goodbye. When you don't care, you don't care. You know what I mean? And when I tell that to people, they're like, that's not true. Well, you know, it kind of is. But I don't see the world in the same way as everybody else does. And I love the title of this, Multiple But Mono. And this is all that self-reflection, that all the things that either you say or are said to you, the way that you twist these exchanges in your mind and you hold them tight, kind of like a stopwatch, that whole pocketed guilt again where you pull it out, where you have to take a look at it from every time and time so you know where you stand or you remember where you've been or whatever, then you put it right back in there and kind of like a fidget spinner where you have your hand in your pocket and try to, you know, warn you for next time, maybe don't go back down that route. But, you know, emotions are rational, and you can't really gauge what you're going to say in a heated moment. So what are your thoughts on the poem? Now that I've talked for so long, you probably don't remember what it was.
Actually, I do, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I like this perspective, and like you said, the ticking in the background, it reminded me of a metronome, or, you know, the old grandfather clock in the hallway that you could actually hear the actual ticking. Back before the digital age, children, clocks made noise. it's just one of those things that he mentions two things that really resonated with me, that made me take a different view on this piece of, he mentions avatars and he mentions masks. So, you know, that reminds me of the people online that, you know, they present themselves one way. And then, you know, when you find that, when they open their mouths and those daggers come out, you're like, you know, oh, he wasn't who I thought he was, you know, and only time will, you know, let you get to that point to realize that, you know, you didn't see them for what they were. And when that gets exposed, that's, you know, that's definitely a betrayal, because that goes back to exactly what you've been saying all along about the lies. You know, he lied about who he was, you know, the fable about the toad and the scorpion, you know, it's like, it's his nature. Of course he stung you. You know, he's a scorpion. That's what scorpions do. You know, and there's more than one of my friends that, you know, I've actually had that conversation. I'm like, you know who he was beforehand, so you can't be mad at him for being himself. You know, that's who he was. So what did you think was going to happen? You know, it's like if you know what you're dealing with, you can't expect it to be any different. And you know. The idea of being, you know, betrayed in that it's hard to get around to, because, you know, you're trying to be objective and see things for what they are. And, you know, obviously you can be fooled, but, you know, sometimes even that's what I think bothers you is that, you know, you fell for it. You know, you almost feel like you were conned. And, you know, I've been in that position before where, you know, someone will actually look at me and go, oh, you've got everybody fooled. I'm like, oh, really? You know, it's like, I just, and you know, you being a psych major, have probably heard this before too. What was it that they say that we're three different people, how other people see us, how we think we are and how we really are, something like that. And, you know, very rarely are they all, you know, the same person, but, you know, sometimes they actually do, you know, fall in line. But, you know, that idea of, you know, again, to me, it goes back to well, I know what I was trying to say, you know, but, you know, that's not what you heard or saw. That's, I think, a lot of times, you know, us putting our own ideas on top of what's happening, you know, seeing things in our own perspective and not realizing that this is the way someone else is looking at it, and you know, trying to think of it, well, how can they not see it this way, you know, but apparently they do. So, yeah, it's the differences that make things, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that. You know, anyway.
So the saying goes, I am not who you think I am. I am not who I think I am. I am who I think you think I am. And I love that. I have a poem about that. Because if I believe that you think I'm an asshole, I must have done something that I find assy for me to believe that you're going to think that of me. Even if, you know, and while it's only true to a certain extent, there is truth in it. And it's an interesting thing if you stop when you're all pissed off, and you know how I get pissed off at people, when you're all pissed off about somebody and, you know, I'm like, well, they must really hate me. Well, what the heck did I do then for me to think that now? And I keep on saying that I make it sound like I'm always the exception and not the rule. That's not true. But because I see things the way I see things, and because I am so kind of naked and abrupt and open, like I don't have the patience, I do not have the energy to hide who I am, what I am, what I think. I'm lazy. The bottom line is I am who I am. I don't need to pretend to be something else. If you don't like me as I am, you know, listen, you move on, you know. And yes, you're right, Pee Wee, perception is reality. But perception is altered by mood. I can be reading a text from somebody, and okay, I will get a line from a text I got 2 days ago when I was all moody and heartbroken and sad, where I read it so pissy that it was all, I was just ignoring you. And if I look at it in a better mood, it's like it's more sarcastic, or yeah, because yeah, I was ignoring you, like, right, like that's what I would do. It's the words don't change, but in this texting words on paper, no inflection society, your mood is imparted on everything you read. Or if you're mad at somebody and you think that they're mad at you, or you think that you hurt their feelings, or you think whatever it is that you think at the time, you're going to read that differently. And when you go back a couple of days later and you look at it and be like, oh, my bad, that was innocent, and I wrote some new one. And because without inflection, words fall flat. It's just, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy thing, this the way we communicate, the way our mind twists reality into whatever we're in the mood to see or hear. And if we want to be in a funk, then our twisted little brains are going to feed everything into that funk. It is a hard thing to talk or will yourself out of. I'm not good at it. I am good with my funk. I will warn everybody, I'm in a mood. You know, if you choose not to want to speak to me, I'm okay with that. I'm choosing not to want to burden anybody with my nonsense, and I will go hide in a hole for a little bit until I am just a little more than moderately sarcastic, and, you know, it is what it is. but we are all guilty of being selfish when it comes to our views of what we expect from others, and we think that we don't expect things. But oftentimes we do, and what we expect is for other people to see things the way we see things, to understand the way we see things, to react to things more like we would expect them to react to things, even if that's not who they really are. We still respect that. He was like, indeed, but you realize you're in a mood and you're not denying that. You're right, I don't. But that's because I was in a lot of emotional pain very early on in my young adulthood that is just unfortunate. And you learn to cut out the riffraff and stop the nonsense. And I am hard to take because I don't deal with shenanigans and I don't play the game. And, I mean, I can, you know, when I'm forced to, when, you know, my go-to is to be F you, and that's not going to cut it because that's just not polite society, then, you know, sometimes you have to bite it back and be a little bit more delicate. I am not a delicate person. If you read me at all, there's nothing delicate about me. It's just kind of the way that is. I'm going to play a Rack's poem, and hopefully it'll get in there before we go completely off air. So here he is, and you have to listen to the rest of the show after.
I Guess by Raconteur. So I crushed your dreams and tore out your heart, pulled back the curtain, revealed what you suspected from the start. People see what they want to see. I'm just an illusion, merely a wannabe. All I've done, a lie or a joke. No emotion or truth in anything I spoke. You talk of winning as if it were a game, watching as I drown in tears used to douse the flame. You say you want to be alone, betrayed by all you've been shown. I guess it's my chance to do something right, grant your wish and stay out of your sight. I guess I'm the fool for thinking I could ease your strife. Delusions of adequacy condemned to the shadows of your life. End poem.
And look, that made it on air. I'm so excited. So for the last 10 seconds, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody on the board, Titus and Pee-wee. You guys are fabulous. Thanks for hanging out and for writing for my show and for joining the conversation. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Sky and Sweet, because I know that tonight was not a good night. One was in pain. The other one had, yeah, to get up the butt crack of dawn. I do not envy that. And they hung out anyway. And so I appreciate that. And, of course, Raconteur, my partner in crime, I appreciate you more than you know. And so now for the comments for your poem. You kill me with your Hurt Locker. You do. And I'm sure that Sky is going to be sad that she missed it because that's her favorite place to hate. Well, to love slash hate because, you know, she loves it in there like I do. I cannot with your delusions of adequacy. You know, there you always hear about the delusions of grandeur where you think you are the end all be all. But, you know, to think that, you know, you're good enough and have that be a fallacy, that is heartbreaking, you know? You know, you're not striving for the best. You're just striving to be all right. And and it's heartbreaking. But it's a beautiful turn of phrase because it stops you and it makes you think. There's just something so wrong in that truth, you know? And there's something, your opener. So it's almost like I crushed your dreams, you know? sure I did, if you say so, you know? If you thought that I was this shitheel from the beginning, why the hell did you stick with me, you know? I'm like, if this is what you see, why are you here? If this is who you think I am, if any part of you thinks that I am this disgusting human, why are you still, what does that say about you? You know? I'm like, all right then. You know, how dare you think you're good enough? You know? And to have that be taken as you think you're better than everybody and I see you, you can't fool me. That is horribly painful, you know, and that whole idea of winning like it was a game, and it's not. And we were having this conversation earlier. It is that whole fight or flight, that whole self-defense where you go blow for blow, whether it's verbally or whatnot, when you're in a situation where, you know, it tends to be F me, F you. But there are no winners in that game. It doesn't happen. It is everybody hurts, everybody loses, and now you have to try to rebuild a foundation of a relationship that was just torn apart. Not really the intent was to tear somebody, but to tear everything apart, but the aftermath of jagged tongues is dire, you know? And then there you are, condemned to the shadows, to be on the periphery, to be on whatever, to think that all you wanted to do was help somebody suffer less and they made you suffer more for it. You know, like, how dare you think I need your help? Who do you think you are? And people suck that way, you know? They really, really do. It's, Pee-wee's on the last thing he wrote on the board is, you sound so much like me, it's ridiculous. I love that. My response here is, you must That's fabulous. Thank you for making me smile. I know that you're going to go back and listen, so thank you. I actually giggled, so if I say LOL, I did. And that's absolutely awesome. But, yeah, your Hurt Locker kills me. I can't with the delusions of adequacy. That is just such brilliance that I cannot. I just can't. And I know that we're a little bit after time. It's 12:04, but I'm going to read my crap anyway because I want to. And so there, you know. I hope this is one I read to you earlier. It might be. No, it isn't because it's going to make me cry. This is... I have a whole period from a few years back that is very, very heartbreaking and not okay. And I had to go through a bunch of them to find something for tonight. So if I lose it, hopefully I won't. Yeah?
Even Picasso had his blue period.
OMG. This is Consequences of Leftover Love by Pretty Bird. And then after this, I will bid thee adieu. And here we go. What am I doing? I'm reading. I put on my glasses. Okay, here we go. Who must you be to love like you do in gestures titled Go Big or Go Home? I was home once, wrapped safe in quilted desire, that all before the nothing, but nothing is everything, in witching hour yesterdays that screamed truths I'm too blind to hear. You spoke in concrete verbiage, and I danced on ideals. Every word indelibly etched or sandblasted through virtue. 100% of your heart, the purest cocaine, instant addiction, my predilection, and alpha point views, omega point distance. Banter black yesterdays a minute ago, where 100 to zero blinked death and newfound anxiety. My 100, mine, gifted in parts I can never get back, knowing that pure light steals vision. Stolen and regifted in square peg disasters that feel like maybe just because you can touch them. I counted time to remember to breathe when you stole my air. Time broke records one day singing apologetic arias, and it rushed in 0 to 100 in 0 seconds flat. Trust still feels warm in your voice even now, knowing it is 100% of what is left after you gave it away, a whole heart divided, blinded by joy. I was blindsided by pain. Those tears don't belong to me this time. Your pain breaks my heart. Look at me. My love still runs a true 100, seeing only what you gave away, and worth can never grow past the vision that less than is always nothing. Diaphanous truth against yesterday's honor. You gave her a piece of me and told me nothing changed. End poem.
I can only imagine the conversation that led up to that thought. Wow, that's raw and emotional. I mean, like everything you write, you know. I think it's unfortunate that people try and suss out the situation that led to something like that, and they totally ignore what you actually, you know, putting down, the emotion that you went through. That way, it's more where you wound up. You know, what is it? It's the destination? Well, no, it's the journey. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't fit the situation. And I know too many damn cliches. I'm a walking cliche. Anyway,
Well, but, on that note.
Okay.
Well, we're after time. It's 12:07. I think you're fabulous. I don't do pretty. I do pain. That's just how it is. And I don't say I do it well, but it's always honest. And some people feel some kind of way about it. So, you know, it hurts. It was not easy for me to read. And it's going to sit with me. And I'll probably be all solemn tomorrow and all up in my feelings, because that junk happens because I'm human. Gosh darn it. But, you know, I suppose that's better than being a dog or, you know.
I thought you were a bird.
Well, an ostrich is a bird, so there's that. You know, not even smart enough to fly. I had a great time tonight, even with the depth of the subject matter. You guys are awesome, and you guys brought all these different facets of the emotion, and my favorite part of my shows is the conversation, and you guys are stellar and fabulous, and I love you all, and thanks for joining in. And so now I shall say good night. So good night, Raconteur. Good night, everyone.
No, you said you were going to say adieu.
Adieu. There you go. Which is different than adieu. Because, you know,
yes.
I'm not an ass. It's fine.
Well, the dew is what sits on the flowers in the morning.
There is that. But good night, and we shall talk soon.
Thank you.